questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Ata, the host of this program. We have a very special guest speaker for today's program, Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the harmony that might exist between Islam and its rulings with the modern world. We know that the Holy Quran was revealed 14 centuries ago, and the religion of Islam was founded, 14 centuries ago. The main question is that, are the rulings and the rituals of the religion of Islam adjustable with the modern world and the modern lifestyle or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for asking this very significant and important question. We know that, technically, religion is defined as consisting of mainly three parts: the beliefs, the ethical issues, and laws. So in the religion of Islam, also we have some beliefs, some moral instructions, and some of the laws which are related to jurisprudence. Now, usually those people who ask this question, whether the religion of Islam, which was revealed 14 centuries ago, is related to our life, to our time, they think only about the Islamic laws, the fiqh and jurisprudence. And it seems that they ignore the other important parts, that is the beliefs and the moral issues.
Yes.
So my first point answering this question is that, first of all, for this part, let's forget about the Islamic laws. But what about the other two parts, the beliefs and the moral issues? Is there any difference between our beliefs back in 14 centuries ago and in our time? So, for example, when you're talking about God, is it logical to claim that, okay, it was only 14 centuries ago that we needed God, mm-hmm. and then all the discussions about the attributes of God, and then about the prophets, about the Day of Judgment, they are related to 14 centuries ago, and they have nothing to do to our time. So, I mean, this is a very illogical claim.
That's right.
So my first point is that usually those people who want to, object the religion of Islam, they ignore the fact that religion of Islam is not only about the Islamic laws. It is also about beliefs, and it is also about moral issues.
Yes.
So the point is that if you want to choose a religion, you may consider mainly the beliefs. So you need to think whether, Buddhism is the true religion in your time, or Christianity, or Islam, or other religions, and basically in terms of the beliefs.
Yes.
Because what matters the most, and this is what we get from the Quran too, is about the beliefs. I'm not degrading the importance of the Islamic laws.
That's no,
they're
right.
Important as well. But yes. What matters the most is the beliefs.
That's right.
So my point is that we cannot reject the religion of Islam mm-hmm. because of the claim that
right.
the laws are not adjustable to our time.
This is the same question about the other religions
that's the
too,
point.
Because they date back before Islam.
Yeah, but my first point is that
that's right.
the main part of Islam is, first of all, the beliefs. And the beliefs are there. There is no difference between 14 centuries ago and now, and 14 centuries from now.
Yes.
In each time we need to think whether we have one God or more than one God, or there is no God. What
yes.
about the Day of Judgment and so on and so forth?
That's right.
So the same issues which were there 14 centuries ago, they are available
yes.
in our time.
Yes.
Then we go to the second part of Islam, which is the moral issues. Can we say that, okay, justice was good 14 centuries ago and it is bad mm-hmm. in our time? Or, for example, generosity was good and it is not the case anymore? No. When it comes to moral issues, moral instructions of the religion of Islam, there is no difference between our time and 14 centuries ago.
And human beings in general, the physical talents of the human beings, are still the same. I mean, although they say that the intellect of the human being have grown up, but the case is that the problems of the human being, I mean, the matter of the body and the spirituality are still the same questions that exist.
Yeah, even if we accept the claim that in terms of intellectuality, human beings have grown, which might be the case.
Yes.
But again, I go back to the two parts of Islam, beliefs and moral issues. There is no change in this regard.
Yes.
If we claim that, intellect consists of 100 degree, if you are in the second degree or in the 90th degree, in both degrees, you are in need of one God, for example.
Yes.
The day of judgment is there. Oppression is bad.
Yes.
Jealousy is bad. To be jealous is bad.
Okay.
So my point is that it doesn't make any difference. In all these cases, in all the times, we have the issues of related to beliefs and, moral issues.
That's right.
Now, having said that, we come to the question about the Islamic laws. For the majority of the Islamic laws, we can say that, again, there is no change. So when it comes to the, Furu' al-Din, the basic Islamic laws that we need to do, like prayer, like fasting, khums, zakat, going to hajj, enjoining good, forbidding the evil, jihad, and so on and so forth. There is no change, people needed to say prayer 14 centuries ago. The same is true in our time. And of course, fasting and so on and so forth. So again, for the majority, for the main part, there is no change. Now, when it comes to some Islamic laws, which seem to be, not adjustable to our time.
Yes.
Again, the religion of Islam has put forth some ways to get rid of so-called problems.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. And beside that, we have some new questions as well when it comes to Islamic laws. For example, some people may argue that, okay, at the time of the Prophet, there was no issue of the contract of insurance, for example. Mm-hmm. But nowadays we have this contract, so Islam has no answer to this question. But the point is that Islam has answer to all these, newly raised question and all the new problems through some, strategies. First of all, in Islam we have, if I put it this way, the first laws and the secondary laws. Let me explain it. For example, as the first law or as the primary law, you need to fast during the holy month of Ramadan. But then if it is harmful to your body as the secondary law, there is no such obligation anymore.
Yes.
So we have al-ahkam al-thanawiyya, the secondary Islamic laws. And in our time, it is applicable in many cases too. So, for example, imagine that there is a law in the religion of Islam, and the scholar comes to this understanding that it is against, in our time, it is against the fame of the religion of Islam to be practiced.
Yes.
If I want to be more explicit in this regard by giving some examples, we know that as a penalty for some of the sins, the death penalty is there.
Yes.
And, there is no doubt about
yes.
that, and we are not apologetic for
yes.
that. But the point is that the way that you want to exercise this penalty can be different from one time to another.
Yes.
So maybe in the past, at the time of the Prophet, to do that, through a sword, was a very normal way. Mm-hmm. No one could blame the religion of Islam that why you are using the sword.
Yes.
It was
The common practice
done at that
yes.
time. But now the Muslim scholars may come to this understanding that in our time, it is against the fame of the religion of Islam.
Yes.
So death penalty can be applied through other ways.
Yes.
And Islam has accepted that through the secondary laws that I explained.
That's right.
So this is one way through which, I mean, Islam can change some of the laws, of course, based on the viewpoints of the
great scholars. This is where the fiqh or jurisprudence comes into the scene and help us.
And then we have the concept of ijtihad. That's the second point that I want to share.
Okay.
So we know that as Muslims, either we are experts in deducing the Islamic laws from the sources, that is from the Quran, from the narrations and from the intellect, or we need to follow a mujtahid. So here we are talking about the concept of ijtihad. Why Islam, and especially the Shia school of thought, has brought this notion at all? The philosophy is that for the because of the fact that in each and every time we need scholars who are expert in jurisprudence, and for some of the laws they are able to adjust the laws to the requirements of the time.
That's right.
And also, they are there to address newly raised questions.
Yes.
So, in our time, we have so many questions regarding new issues, for example, regarding coloning, for example. Or, as I mentioned, many, many contracts which are new in our time. In all these cases, we have the concept of ijtihad.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that according to Islamic laws, you are not able to follow a dead mujtahid.
Yes.
You need to follow
a living one. Yes.
Which means that the philosophy is that so that you can have answer to all the questions that you may face.
And Islam has opened this window. I mean, it is a flexible religion, isn't it?
Exactly.
It is not, for example, a dogmatic, static religion which does not welcome any new idea or something like that. But the case is that the main philosophy of the rulings are still adjustable to the modern world.
That's the
up until the day of judgment. This has been the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And in many cases, the principles are mentioned in the verses and in the narrations.
Yes, yes.
And in one narration, one of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam says that the duty of us, the Imams, is to give you the principles.
Yes.
Then through those principles, you are able to deduce the laws in details.
Yes.
So, for example, Islam and the Noble Book of Quran, the Noble Book of Quran says that mm-hmm. you need to act upon the uqud, the contracts.
Yes.
So, in that time, we didn't have like insurance, for example.
Yes.
But in our time, the Muslim jurists come to this understanding that we have new contracts like insurance, for example.
Yes.
So, based on that principle, he gives his verdict or fatwa regarding that.
That's right.
And that is why one of the features, one of the prerequisites and conditions for a mujtahid is what we call it to be al-alimu bi-zamaneh. This is mentioned in the narrations.
Yes.
To know about the requirements of your time.
The man of his time.
Exactly.
Yes.
And this is one of the features so that the scholar is able to adjust some of the laws based on the requirements of the time.
That's right.
The next point is the importance of aql or intellect, especially from the Shia viewpoint.
Yes.
This is one of the sources of the Islamic laws. And that is why we have a principle that kullama hakama bihi al-aql hakama bihi al-shar. Everything that our intellect understand and comes to as a law, the same is true regarding shar or religion.
That's right.
So when intellect is one of the sources of our fiqh or our jurisprudence, it means that all the Islamic laws, I mean, you cannot find any Islamic law that is against the rulings of your intellect. Yes, in some cases, our intellect may have no judgment.
Yes.
The ruling might be beyond the understanding of the intellect, but we cannot find any ruling that is directly against the intellect.
Okay.
And just one last point.
Okay.
We know that in the viewpoint of the majority of the Shia scholars, we have the concept of the guardianship of faqih or the juris.
Yes.
In some cases, we know that it is upon the hakim al-shar, the scholar who is ruling over the Muslims, to change some of the laws.
Yes.
It has happened in the past.
That's
for example, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, for some reason banned Hajj for some years.
Yes.
And it is another way through which, I mean, the Islamic laws can be adjusted to the requirements of the time.
If we take a philosophical and epistemological look at the religion of Islam, we could find it that the rulings and the nature and the innate nature of these rulings are still the same, but the forms might change. That is why Maulana, the outstanding famous poet, says, قرنها بر قرنها رفته همام, centuries after centuries have passed away, وین معانی برقرار و بردوام. The meanings are still the same and they are constant. آب مبدل شد در این جو چند بار. The water which was in this stream has changed a lot. عکس آن خورشید دائم برقرار. We can say the same sun is still existing. پس بنایش نیست بر آبی روان. In fact, it is not. It's as if it is like a water going on and on. بلکه بر اقطار ارض آسمان. We can say that's right. The heavens and the earth, you know, have been changing and always they are changed. But still, we can say the nature of that ruling is the same. That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding how the religion of Islam and its ruling are still adjustable to the modern world. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir/en/call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.